great facial expressions.
Okay.
Just remember, it's not real.
Yeah, that's okay.
Am I starting now?
Yes.
Are you done?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All right, welcome back to the second meeting. And we had a productive last 30 minutes. I'll be taking minutes on this one. And being hooked up to the PowerPoint for this meeting isn't very necessary for myself, because I'm thinking more about what you guys are bringing to the meeting today. So, the first presentation we'll be looking at is Poppy's presentation, and take it away, Poppy.
Okay. Do I need to?
It's plugged in, so
okay. Sorry about this, guys. Okay, I'll take the time just to apologize. I only received my emails later on because I was too busy carried away doing my own thing, which is obviously not a very good part of the team working thing, but there we go, for sure. So I was looking at how we're going to go about the working design and what we actually need to do and what the remote control needs to do, and it needs to allow a person to have a portable device so they can control the television from wherever they are. They don't need to actually manually touch the television set. So it gives them much more flexibility and allows them to be where they want to be. On the functional side of things, we found out that, from a previous meeting, we decided that there are certain points that will make our product unique. One, it's the visibility in the dark, which was Genevieve's idea. So we need to think about how we could bring this in technically, and we could use illuminated buttons, which we're all familiar with when we're using a mobile phone or something familiar. It automatically lights up at first touch, or we could use fluorescent materials, which would just take in the light during the day, and then as soon as they go off, they would glow in the dark. Also, we could use an alarm. So if we lost the remote control, perhaps there could be a button on the television set itself, which you could press, and then an alarm from the handset would sound where it was, hopefully in the room, maybe behind a cushion or somewhere. So that would work. Go back there. Another thing I think we missed out on the last meeting was the fact that we should consider the environmental impact of our design. From previous research, as I've carried out on other projects, we've learned about smart materials where specific alloys of metals have a shape memory, so they can be heated and cooled, and they change the shape of the metal. So, for example, a screw that's holding something together could expand and it would force all the components apart. So the benefits of this for our product would be that when it came to the end of its product life, if it was heated, everything would spring apart. So all the individual components could be easily separated, and then some could be reused, some could be recycled. And I think that would be very important for products now, especially because there's so much of responsibility for all the companies are coming up with new designs, because we all know that our resources are being limited and we have to be very environmentally conscious.
Yeah. One question.
Yeah.
This self-destructible metal, it allows for recycling materials so that someone could have this product for as long as they felt that they wanted it, and then once they contributed, then that company can break down the parts better?
Yeah, they would You would make the product as you normally would, apart from the bits that hold it all together would be made out of the shape memory alloy, and that's the part that would allow all the other parts to be separated at the end. I mean, the user would return the product to the company because it's the product's responsibility to get rid of what they've made, and then the company could then just make use of the shape memory alloys to split up the components,
yeah.
And then either reuse some bits and other bits which are obviously going to wear out with time or not usable. They might be able to put into scrap metal or something like the case. If it's scratched or something, you wouldn't want to reuse it, but you might be able to melt it down and
mm-hmm.
reuse it again somewhere else.
Would we be the company that would break down these or metals, or would
you
we?
We could probably
yeah.
employ a side company or something to do that for us. But it would be our responsibility to get that done and to dispose of the products that we made for a certain percentage at least.
Yeah.
Not 100% of everything we produce.
This sounds like a really great idea. One thing we have to consider is our 100% turnover goal that we have
yeah.
for the financial
yeah.
sector. So we'll have to investigate how much that will cost
yes.
us, cost the company. Because it sounds very labor intensive, you have to hire a number of people, and it might be more expensive.
Well, the fact of the shape memory alloys is that they don't need to be manually deconstructed. Like, you don't have to individually unscrew all the screws. Because of this, their properties are smart material.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is just the heat, so they self-destruct themselves.
Alright.
So I suppose it does need like high contact.
Patient.
The you know high quality machinery and very specific machinery, but
I like the environmental approach.
Yeah.
We'll have to see if that can meet our financial
okay.
goals as well.
Also, there are some components. This will be how it will actually work, but I haven't put this plan together yet.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Do you
don't check it out? This would actually show the circuit diagram, although I haven't. Final circuit yet.
Okay.
So I just would put all those components in.
So those are what will construct the remote?
Yeah, it just shows what sort of energy source. It could be a battery, like rechargeable probably, and yeah, well, how the infrared will actually be sent through the chip to be received by the chip on television set itself.
Alright, great.
Okay. So now is it F8 again? To escape.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. And the next presenter will be Tara.
Function
F8, it's one of the
oh, right.
yeah.
Okay. I'm the user, user interface designer. The technical function design of the apparatus is the effect the apparatus should have. In this case, it's the function of the remote control, which is to send messages to the television set. By taking inspiration from other similar designs, we'll try and come up with an original Trinity remote control, which is the Elville International. There are two functional design options: a multifunctional remote control, which can be used for several entertainment devices, and a single function remote controller used specifically for the television.
And so is that one multifunctional and
sorry, a single function just for the television itself.
Oh, I see.
Multifunction controls can be difficult to use as the multitude of buttons can be confusing. A single function remote control is simpler to use, but it means you have to have other remote controls for your other entertainment devices. I think that a single function remote control would be preferable because it's easier to use. It'd be more compatible with a range of television sets, making it more internationally sellable. It will make an original design more attainable as we have less functional necessities to include in the design, and it would be more profitable as it would be more simplistic and less functions would have to be included. So it would be cheaper to make and probably more sellable just because it's more compatible with a wider range of devices. Does anyone have any questions?
So as far as we know, a single function television remote control is usable internationally.
Well, it's just that when we're creating it, we have to make it compatible with different brands of devices, and it would be easier to make it compatible with just different brands of television devices rather than all the kinds of
Does everyone agree with this? Does anyone object and find the multifunctional might be a better way to go?
I was just wondering about what Jeremy said before about having like some hidden controls, like having the outer casing. Well, that would probably, what you said before about it being like more profitable, simplistic design, I suppose having that would complicate it a lot more.
Yeah.
Gonna limit the design.
I think I hear the single design thinking out because we're trying to do so much that if we're trying to make a unique user friendly, that is also multifunctional. We're going to go over budget.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. And with this, we'll have more limited budget probably to make a more original design.
Yeah.
We'll have more money to go into the design side of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Okay.
All right. Well, are you ready for your presentation, Jenny?
Yes, I am.
Thanks. Except you haven't looked up to
I'm
that.
Other than that, completely ready.
Great.
Okay, so I'll be discussing the functional requirements of this remote control. And I'll give you a little briefing on what that means exactly. If you'll remember from the email we got before our very first kickoff meeting with the coffee machine, the functional requirements of that was to produce hot coffee quickly. So what I'll be talking about now is the equivalent for remote control. So basically what needs and desires have to be fulfilled. I've done some marketing research, a lot of interviews with remote control users, and some internet research. And I'll show you my findings. Oh, and first I wanted to remind you about our company motto and purpose. So we believe in providing the international market with fashionable products. Hence our motto, we put the fashion in electronics. So I think that should be our priority here. And we should also be looking to trends in clothing and interior design, not just in electronic fashion, so that it's something that fits in the household.
I'm sorry, what was that last thing that you just said?
We should be looking towards trends in both clothing and interior design.
Mm-hmm.
Any trends that are going on in the public, even media, you know, who's famous, what TV shows are being watched, to influence our remote control. Okay, so the findings. 75% of users of remote controls find them ugly, which is quite a significant number. The other 25% didn't specify if they love them or found them, you know, neutral. 80% of users would spend more money when a remote control would look fancy. Current remote controls do not match well the operating behavior of the user.
I'm sorry, the 80% of users would spend more money when a remote control would look fancy. You mean that they would spend more money on a fancy looking remote control?
Yeah, they're willing to spend money on a remote control personality,
okay,
as opposed to your basic, you know, oval, black,
yeah,
all same size body remote control. So it is something that people care about. It's not ignored in the household. 75% of remote control users said that they zap a lot. Zapping meaning they go through channels a lot,
mm-hmm,
you know, thumb masters. And 50% of users say they only use 10% of the buttons, but very small amounts. I thought that was interesting.
Right, so it might be very appealing if
you
have very concise buttons. And another thing with lots of surfing, you probably have to work on something that could be a lot more durable, because I find with channel changers that
yes,
a lot of the numbers get rubbed down if they're printed on
yeah,
the buttons.
Yeah.
And actually, to go with that, I'm going to give you some statistics on the relevancy of each of the buttons, how much they're used, and how important the users find. So the power button, obviously, in an hour is only used once. Hopefully the person's not turning on and off the TV. But the relevance of that button is 9 out of 10. So people want to be able to turn on the TV with a remote control, as opposed to signing up and turning on the television set. Channel selection is used 168 times on average per hour. That's a huge amount. This is the most important button. So obviously when commercials come on, we're changing it. So as you said, we want a durable button that's not going to run down. Relevance of that button, our users found, was 10 out of 10. Ditto for volume selection, it's 10 out of 10. And it's used on average 4 times an hour. Not as much as channel selection, but still significant. Audio settings is used on average 0.8 times an hour. Relevance is 2. Screen settings, which means brightness, color, etc., 0.5 times an hour, and relevance of 1.5. We're getting to specific statistics here. Teletext. Now I'm not too clear on what that is. I wonder if you can help me. Flipping pages.
It's
like the news.
It has TV has like information. Has information on holidays, the news,
yeah,
entertainment.
So it's
running
better. No,
it's
a button that you press,
yeah,
and then you. The menu pops up.
Yeah.
I haven't used it before.
And you have page numbers like for the menu, and you press the page numbers with your remote change.
Okay.
Very basic internet.
Very basic internet. Yeah.
Okay. But tells you the weather and.
Yeah,
okay,
but you have no one direction back with it, you know, like metric.
Yeah, it's just information that on like television timetables, what's on now, what's on next on every
yeah
channel.
Right. Well, I guess I'm not with it because I wasn't, but it's being used 14 times an hour, and has a high relevance of 6.5. So it looks like something that we're going to want to do some research on and include
yeah
on our remote control. Channel settings, 0.01 times an hour, relevance of 3. Channel settings.
Probably just tune in the channels.
Is there changing channels?
Tune in the moment. Very sorry, I'm forgetting what you said. Tune in the channels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the right
perception.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Okay. So it's not used very often, but people still find it relevant. Okay. Biggest frustrations of the people that we interviewed. Remote controls are often lost somewhere, so that was already discussed by Poppy, how we can have an alarm system so that people can find it. It takes too much time to learn how to use a new remote control. So it should be very user-friendly, you know, people know what to do very quickly. Remote controls are bad for RSI.
Repetitive strain injury.
Ah,
I
so
think
those people have friends.
That's very sad.
Maybe
oh,
yeah,
I'm guessing that's okay.
Yeah,
designers can look into that. Buttons that don't require, you know, very firm mission
yeah
if they respond. But we'll have to also avoid, you know, buttons responding to the slightest touch as well. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys get that one down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, here's some ideas for you. A large percentage of the public would pay for voice recognition on their remote controls. So I'll show you some numbers here. So the youngest age group, 15 to 25, 91.2% said that they would pay extra money to have voice recognition included on their remote control. And you can see that number decreases a bit with the oldest. Interestingly enough, 25 to 35 is the lowest amount that are willing to pay extra. So I guess we're gonna have to figure out what age group we're targeting in it, and if voice recognition is something we want to look into, and if we have the budget for it. If we are targeting young adults, it looks like something that would pay off. See, it's 90%, over 90% would pay for it.
Yeah, I agree with if we're targeting young adults, then it would be something we should look into financially and functionally. So especially if we are trying to be trendy, go with fashions, things like that, ages like from 35 to 65 show lower numbers, probably won't be as concerned.
So that's a whole other field of research. I don't know if it'd be, if you'd still have a remote or if you're talking to your television and saying change channel, depending on how many members you have in household. So it may be too complicated for us, but it's something to keep in mind anyway.
There's something that, like, for the complicated is that the TV makes noise itself.
Right.
Yeah. And if there was conversation in the room at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although, there doesn't tend to be when you're watching television, but. Very difficult to get the specific.
If we're looking for simplistic design, we need to decide if that is our intention, is more simplistic design. Because if it is, then I think voice activated.
It looks like.
Yeah, and that would sort of negate the whole remote control thing, because if people can activate the television with their voice, and
like
they also won't be talking into a remote.
Okay, the last thing here was an LCD screen. So, I mean, voice recognition might be a little too extreme for us, not practical. An LCD screen, though, might be something that, you know, you can ship through pages, kind of the way this PowerPoint is working.
Yeah.
So that you don't have so many buttons to deal with.
I don't know what an LCD screen is.
Oh, sorry, just the screen, like a computer screen. So, or like, like an alarm clock. You'd have an LCD versus just a...
What do you appear on the screen?
No idea, so.
Oh, just like an electronic screen, as opposed to just buttons, it'd be like a little.
Oh, on
like
the remote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like on the top of the cell phone, the little LCD screen. I don't know what exactly we put on there. But I guess the channel that you're on, what volume setting.
Could it would be good if it had the actual program that was on what was next, but that would probably.
Like LinkedIn with the teletext.
Yeah,
or
that
like
would
be access that through the television.
Might be quite expensive to do that.
Right.
I guess that's something we can all take back to our respective research.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, my personal preferences and thoughts. I think our priority really should be unique design. We want something that people want in their home. Every remote control looks the same, so in my opinion, it should be user-friendly and unique. So the other stuff might be a little too gadgety for some people. I myself, voice recognition kind of scares me off. So if we're aiming to make this an international universally accepted product, and for all, the other thing is age market. I mean, if we wanted to concentrate on 15 to 25 year olds, we could go with the fancy stuff. But if we want to make 50 million and have everyone want this remote control, we should maybe stick to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And we should keep in mind that 15 to 25 year olds might not have 25 euros to spend on a remote control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their priorities might not be a fancy remote control, then they're just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we have to keep in mind the reliability of our research. I mean, you know, a 16-year-old boy would say, yeah, I pay a voice recognition, and probably realize that's 3 months allowance.
Yeah.
So I think the older generations, we should be catering to a bit more.
Energy chat days.
Yeah. And if one of the largest or most complained about things is that it takes so long to get to know how to use remote control, I'm sure that something like an LCD screen or remote control would be furthering that problem.
Yeah.
Complicated.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay,
that's it for the market
research. Okay. Before we go into more discussion on what we want this design to look like, I received some information from the management that will affect some of our decisions. For one thing, because having controls with DVD, VCR, that sort of thing would really complicate the design of the remote control. We've decided not to include them and make it a specific television function, which is good as we've sort of decided that we would like to go with that anyway, for many reasons. So we have that decision sort of made for us. Another thing that might affect other decisions is that the management feels that teletext is outdated because more people are using the internet now. And so we won't concern ourselves with navigating the teletext option.
Can I just interject?
Yep.
Would you like to plug in?
Yeah, maybe we all
know.
Okay, sure.
Got a PowerPoint on?
Yeah,
I
do. Looking at it right now. Thank you.
We'll come back soon.
Was the management suggesting use of the internet rather than teletext, or just avoiding both altogether?
I mean, we don't have the resources
or
possibility
yeah.
of using the internet with the remote control, but they were just pretty much saying that
okay.
the teletext would
yeah.
be used.
Okay.
Right, and another thing, this is for the design of the product, is that we want to create more of a sense that people know that this is from our company. So all the remote controls must have our, we'll incorporate our logo and coloring in
yeah.
some way.
Yeah.
So perhaps our logo on the bottom or wherever you feel like it would look good.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be the color of our company, but another thing is that we probably would have to have that color and logo decided upon. I'm assuming that we already have one, but for the purposes of this meeting, I wasn't offered a type of logo or color, so
okay.
if that could be somewhere on the design so that we can be recognizable.
It's probably our RR yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The little RR yellow thing? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction? Yes, those are the changes. So now we need to discuss and come to a decision on our remote control functions of how this is going to be. I'm just going to look at my notes for a second. We have to decide on a target group and the functions of the remote control. So
okay.
We already know that it'll just be for the television. It won't have teletext, but you know, we can discuss those other options that you brought up, Genevieve.
Okay, so are we going to write off the LCD option?
Is that how most people feel about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So no LCD, no teletext, and no voice recognition.
I think it would be annoying though. I don't use teletext that much, but if it was on your TV, you'd want to be able to use it.
Yeah, but another thing is that if we're reaching an international crowd, I know for one that in North America there is
yeah.
no such thing as teletext, so
yeah.
it would be really superfluous.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know about other countries besides the UK. Do you know if anywhere else?
I don't know.
Was it?
More research required, I think.
All right.
Was it a management decision that we
It was a management
to
decision,
yeah.
so it's pretty much out of our hands at this point.
Okay.
Okay. So I guess we're looking at something rather simple.
Well, I guess just from my findings, it looks like you want to minimize buttons.
Okay.
And what was the word they used? Findability is important.
Yeah. I think we should definitely go ahead with the alarm system idea
yeah.
that you had.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that could be inexpensive because we could use the same kind of infrared.
Yeah, same signal.
The same signal through that, and it could just like. A little beeping noise, it's not
or
that expensive to do.
Just the same as a mobile phone, like just
yeah.
a buzz or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, I like that idea.
Would you be able to put the little device anywhere? Because as another remote control for
Minor detail there.
Maybe something adhesive that you could like stick onto the back of every set that would be not very obtrusive, obviously something small
Then it probably wouldn't be able to use, it would be able to use the same reception on the remote control, I guess, but the actual device would have to have its own infrared signal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would it be a battery
there? Maybe
probably.
I mean,
unless it can
be your department sort that out.
Okay. Unless some way it could have some universal connection to like the socket, the same socket that the TV's supplied from. I mean, the power for the TV.
Yeah.
So.
Do some research on that, right? Great. All right, and I'm sure that the glow-in-the-dark fluorescent whatever system is to go ahead. Is there another interest from that?
I like the light-up suggestion. I think that would be better. Because you know, like, fluorescent lights and UVs, they're bright.
But it doesn't. It can be a tactile thing as well. If we're minimizing buttons, we might be able to make them actually larger. And there's something on it, you know,
like a ring.
Up arrow, down arrow for volume. And I know what we can do for channels.
Well, just the numbers could be embossed, like raised.
The numbers themselves,
yeah,
but then the like
raised.
Up button and down button for the channel changing.
Just the arms.
I just thought that it might be sucking more battery power if it is a light up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, Hannah, you mentioned before, like how it should be accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
So like big buttons, maybe for people who are visually impaired, glow in the dark or light up won't make any difference anyway. So like you said, tactile might be better because it'd be more valuable to everybody.
We could incorporate them both so that buttons could maybe be in the shape of the numbers themselves and be made out of some sort of glow-in-the-dark material.
Because
I don't think that glow-in-the-dark material, like the actual soft plastic, costs that much more than other colors.
Not these days, and it's quite...
Yeah.
I guess the other option, referring to the battery thing, is you know how the cell phones will light up for 15 seconds or something?
Yeah.
And then it goes, so if you're like changing the volume during a movie, I'm thinking of most of you watching a movie, turn all the lights off, right?
Yeah.
And you don't turn on the lights to turn it down because of suddenly an explosion. It's going to wake up the baby. So if you touch the button, it kind of reactivates it, it lights up for
you.
That's a good idea.
On soft timer.
It's a soft timer. Right.
We have 5 minutes left for the meeting, but I think we should discuss this light subject a little bit more before we close. I missed the last moment reading that. What were you talking about with the lighting up?
Oh, just if it was kind of the same way that a cell phone will light up for about 10, 15 seconds when you touch a button after having not touched it for a while.
Yeah.
If instead of a constant light up on the remote control, if it lights up for 10 seconds when it's touched again.
So it could be any button that would be pressed.
It just kind of lights up a bit and it gives a faint glow. So if you have all the lights off in your living room, you'll temporarily see it. Because usually you're not fiddling around with it for more than about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's probably feasible. So do you think we should do the lighting up thing and the glow in the dark thing and the shape of the numbers? You have to kind of decide what we're going to do with this.
Mm-hmm. I think the shape of the numbers is a really good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that's unique as well.
I
haven't seen that. And as you're saying, like, numbers can wear off if they're just...
Yeah. I think maybe if it's that softer rubber material, it'll be better for people with RSI? What was it called?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
so, like, hard buttons. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to go for the glow-in-the-dark look? Or do we want to go for the lighting up, basically? Like, should we do both, or we can have one or the other? Because it might... For design purposes, I mean, the lighting up thing might be better because glow-in-the-dark material has a funny kind of color, and it might not go with different like faceplates or something like that.
Exactly, it might be perceived as tacky. glow in the dark. It's kind
yeah.
of like 80s neon style.
Yeah,
where it's
and we
trying
could,
to be trendy fashionable.
Yeah, they're now like you have a huge range of different colours that it could light up in as well, which could again give them their company colours. Blue or green or yellow or
right.
And like
right.
just the only sense it would be
all right, so we've decided on lighting up.
I was thinking if it was glow in the dark, you could put the real reaction symbol that's glow in the dark and then it would be constantly advertised.
Yeah.
Mm.
Every time the it lit
yeah.
up, you get that could light up as
well. Yeah, exactly.
But with the same thing, I mean, if you touch the button
yes.
then it
yeah.
could be
okay.
It could be lit up as well. Is are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so I think that that completes most of our more practical decisions, and now it's up to designing and making sure this can be feasible. And do you have any? Do you have anything to say?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to throw out there the thought about personalizing the remote control. Because you mentioned faceplates, so I don't know if there's something that. You know, like five different faceplates. I don't know if this will start making it more complicated, but it could increase the popularity of the remote.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like you can have changeable.
Yeah,
like an iPod.
Exactly,
yeah.
like an iPod.
Yeah.
Exactly, or like mobile.
Like a cell phone, yeah.
And I don't know if you want to go with, you know, TV show themes or something like Bart Simpson faceplate.
Yeah. And then that would be more profitable, like as a side line to the remote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Exactly, you can start out with three, and if we hit it big, then we can add
yeah.
someone.
Yeah,
yeah. I think we should incorporate that.
Because
that wouldn't be very expensive at all. You just get one mold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Throw some plastic in it. You know.
And also possible. I mean, we could gain out of that by advertising certain TV shows.
Oh,
yeah.
That might be problematic with copyright issues.
Yeah.
So
if
it takes off, then we'll try that out.
The environmental factor, we didn't bring that up again.
Right. We'll have to do more research. Like, as of yet, that has nothing to do with the way it'll look.
Yeah.
Does it need to be reached? Do we need to reach a decision on that right now? Because
I
we need to investigate the financial implications.
Okay.
But does it need to be decided on now? Or should
I
we?
Think we can probably leave that till later on.
Okay. Good. All right then, anyone else have anything more to say before we close?
No?
All right, well, let's have lunch and we'll discuss this later.
Okay.
All right.